Well, we need the Lord to be with us again this morning. I sure thank the Lord for the mothers, as has already been expressed by others this morning. I know this is Mother's Day. I don't really have a message on mothers, but I did think about a scripture or two that we're so familiar with. Proverbs 31 and 10 talks about a virtuous woman. It says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. You know, that indicates great worth, doesn't it? Not something you can purchase. It's not something you can buy. It's not something that you can just make. It's something that just is. The Lord makes it. And I appreciate every virtuous mother. I appreciate every mother that puts her heart into raising her children, and I admire that in a great way. I think that our mothers are a very special blessing to our world, and appreciate them, each one of you. I thought about Proverbs 31 and 28 then, moving on down, and it says, her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. And I just was thinking a little bit about mothers this morning, and don't want to belabor the subject, but you know what? It is a very special job God has given every mother. And I feel like if our whole nation had mothers that were devoted to that task of raising those children, I will tell you, it would be a very different situation, I believe, today. And I believe a lot of what we A lot of how a country, how a home goes, and as a home goes, so goes a country, is in the hands of the mother and the father, whether they put their whole heart into it. And so we see our nation, folks, many of us here are doing everything we can to do it right. And we thank God for that. We appreciate that. I'd say maybe every mother here is giving it our best. I know. We see that. We see the many sacrifices, and we appreciate that. I was thinking about a scripture I felt like the Lord gave me for this service this morning, and just want to encourage our hearts with a very simple message this morning on courage. Psalms 31 and 24, it says, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. You know, this morning, God is very interested in you and me taking courage in our life and in our spiritual life. The Lord wants us to know that his arms are underneath us. And David wrote this psalm, and he said, be of good courage. He's going to strengthen your heart, all of you that hope in the Lord. And so this morning I'm just thinking about putting our hope in the Lord. Again, kind of going along a little bit with some of the other messages. But you know, the Lord wants our hope to be in him. And when our hope is in the Lord, it is in the one that made everything. It is in the one that has everything in his control, in his hands. He has his hand on the throttle. He has his hand over us for protection. He has his hand over us for to guide us. He has his hand over us so that there is no other power that can touch our life unless it comes through his hand. And David here, he says, you be of good courage, all of you that hope in the Lord. All of you that you put your hope in God, take courage this morning. If you look up a couple of verses, he writes here as a man and as the experiences of his life. He said, for I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. He said in his haste that, before he got a hold of himself, when the fear was coming and when the trouble was there, it said, David said, I said in my haste, I'm cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto you, unto thee. O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. I'm thinking this morning about the way that the Lord encourages us and wants us to pluck up in our hearts an encouraged heart. He wants us to know that it's going to be okay. And he wants us to know that he's with us. And he wants us to pluck up that courage. You know, I was thinking about Elijah over in 1 Kings 18. Many times the Lord sees our needs, and by something very small, he gives us something. He gives us something to encourage us. And it's special. It's from the Lord. It might be small, but it's just what we need. And many times the Lord works that way. Elijah was here, and we spoke of this incident here not long ago. But Elijah was there, and it had not rained in Israel for over 3 years. And there had been a great famine. And Ahab the king was very angry because Elijah is the one that told him, it's not going to rain until I say so. And so the Lord had held the rain at Elijah's word. And here this land was in great distress. And now it was time. It was time Elijah saw the Lord had been working. It was time for it to rain again. And so we see here in verse 18 and 43 of 1 Kings that Elijah went up to pray for rain. And said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. You know, this man knew something of God, just like David did. Elijah knew something of God. He knew that God was there. He knew that he would answer his prayer. He knew that what was necessary, God would do. And so he didn't stop. He didn't say, well, I don't know. I guess we'll forget this. Maybe it's not going to rain. But Elijah knew it needed to rain. And he knew God wanted to send rain. You know, folks, this morning, the Lord sees our need too. And so Elijah told him to go again. 7 times he prayed again. Go look again. Tell me, do you see anything in the sky? And it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down that the rain stop thee not. You know, Elijah was familiar with God, wasn't he? And so as he began to pray in this great need, you know, the Lord began to work. But he didn't come with great clouds. He came with a little sign of a man's hand. How many times has the Lord, when we begin to pray and call upon him, how many times has he began to speak? A word, a thought, a song. Maybe something happened. And here Elijah knew, I'm praying to God. God's going to answer my prayer here. I've got a need and the Lord's going to hear it. And he began to pray. And his servant, after 7 times, said, I see a little cloud like a man's hand coming up out of the sea. You know, the Lord, that's all Elijah needed. Helps on the way, folks. I know this God. I've been praying for rain. God's going to send me what I need this morning. You know, saints, today, all of us, I just want to tell you and remind us, God sees our need too. Don't we know that He loves to fill those needs? Don't we know that He wants us to seek Him 7 times if we need to? Over and over, Lord, I need Your help here. I know You're going to help me because that's who You are. You know, blessed is the man that whose hope is in the Lord. And David found that to be true. And so it says here, and it came to pass the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. And he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Now, you know, the Lord did just what He said He would do, didn't He? Folks, I just want to take a few little tiny things from the scripture this morning to encourage our faith that God will do what He says He will do. God may give us a little promise of verse. He may give us a little encouragement. Folks, the Lord wants us to know He is God. And He does. He does hear and answer our prayers. I thought about the scripture that says, this is in Isaiah 30 and 21, "And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left." You know, the Lord didn't promise there to be a great light every time, like Paul had, that struck him down in his way and turned him from his wickedness. The Lord never promised that, but He said this to the children of Israel back here. He said, "You'll hear a word behind you, and it'll just say, this is the way, walk ye in it." You know, this morning the Lord, I believe, wants us to listen for that little word. He wants us to look for that little hand in the sky. And when He gets it, when He gives it, it's a hope for us, isn't it? Isn't it something for us to take courage in? Didn't David say, "He shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord"? I want to look over here in Joshua 4 and 3 to 7 and read a little of Joshua's experience. You know, the Lord gives us encouragement all along the way. He gives us little scriptures. He gives us songs. He gives us thoughts. The Lord speaks to us. Have you ever had the Lord speak and you knew it was God? I remember one time when I was young, the Lord gave me a scripture. And, you know, it was years before I really realized that fully. But I knew God gave me that scripture. I knew it. And, you know, the Lord wants to be that way for us today. When Elijah saw that little hand, he knew it. You ever had something witness in your heart? God gave that to me. I can stand on that. I know the Lord gave that to me. Not just a figment of imagination, but the Lord did it. And He wants to do those things for us all along the way. But I would tell you, I believe many times the Lord does give scriptures. I've been with people a number of times in their distresses, in their issues, and I saw the Lord give. I know the Lord gave scripture. They told me He did. The Lord visited me yesterday. The Lord gave me this. You know, the devil is set to take that away from us. And the Lord wants us to know, I saw the little hand coming up. Now I'm going to get about my business because God is on the way. His help is coming my way. In Joshua 4 and 3, the Lord commanded Joshua this, and He said, "Command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye lodge this night." Now, you know, the Lord did the same thing at Jordan, basically, that He did at the Red Sea. And He opened those waters, and those people, all of those many hundreds of thousands, passed through on dry land. And the Lord didn't want them to forget that. And so He told Joshua, He said, "I want you to command them that they take 12 stones out, one for each tribe. I want each one of them to gather a stone and take it with them from the middle of that river. And so we see, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. When you get across this, I want you to stack those, I want you to put those things, however they were, in a little pile or whatever. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every man a tribe, or out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up, every man of you, a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. That this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean you by these stones? These stones that are stacked up here, why are they here? He said that then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there unto this day when this was written. Do you know, this morning, I wonder sometimes if we should not be more diligent to write down when the Lord does some things. I would suspect that God has specially visited every person here. I would suspect that of any age, that God has specially visited you. There is a time and a place where God has made himself known to us. That's what I would suspect. And you know, I know he will before the end of our life. But you know, God has a way of proving to us who he is. These people came up to this great river, and there was well over a million, I don't know how many people exactly. There's different people suggest different numbers, but a great number. And they had to cross this river to go into the inheritance God was to give them. And you know, I'm sure those people never forgot that river opened up, and they walked through that on dry land, and there was a great wall of water on one side. I'm sure they never forgot that, but I'll tell you what God was interested in. He didn't want them or their children to forget. And so he even wrote it down so we would know about it. God did this thing. Has God ever worked in your life? Has he ever given you a little man's hand? And then the rain came. You know, the Lord wants us to take courage, folks. He wants us to remember that God is real. He wants our children to know that God is real. And so he wants some things. He wants us to those places where it's undeniable, where God specially worked. He wants us to remember that. Has the Lord ever worked in your life? Can you point back to a place where I know God spoke to me there? I saw God work there. You know, God wants that to be a treasure to us. He wants us to take it, and he wants us to take courage with it, to know and not forget in time to come that God is real. We face many things, and these very people that went through this, it seemed like they forgot over and over that God was real. It seemed like they forgot the Red Sea opened, and they walked through on dry land. And then they went into the wilderness, and they watched those folks live for 40 years, and their shoes never wore out. And they watch those things. We have a tendency to forget. And so our courage falters. And we see a battle. And we see something before us. And it's great. It's a sea before us. There's no way to get across. They're closing in from behind. And what are we going to do? The Lord wants us to remember some things, folks. Take courage in our heart. and in our life this morning. The Lord wants us to remember that there have been some places that God has worked special in our lives. He wants our courage to be firm and real. Folks, the generations to come, will they see those that stand firm today? Will they see those that say, I know hitherto the Lord hath worked, and I know He will again. I know my God sent the man's hand out there, the little cloud that was like a man's hand. I know He did, and I saw the rain come. I want to look at a passage of Scripture that we're all very familiar with. In Philippians chapter 4, starting at verse 6, says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, I want us to think about that just a minute. It says, don't be careful. That means anxious. Don't be overly anxious about anything. He said, but in everything, come to the Lord by prayer. And with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Remember that God has worked. Remember that God is. Don't come to Him as if we never heard of God. Lord, some way, are you there? Would you help? I know there may be times like that in our life, but the Lord wants to show Himself strong, and He wants us to take courage. It says, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Now, I want us to think about this little simple verse here that we've heard so many times. Paul writes to us here, and he said, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. I feel like kind of the burden the Lord gave me from the start with this was, the enemy wants to take away from us that promise that God gave us. The enemy wants to take away from us the courage that we have. But I've come to believe, I was looking up the other day a little bit on how countries use propaganda. And you know what the purpose of that is for. Many times it's to undermine the courage of the ones they want to take over. It's to undermine something in such a way that people lose their heart. They don't feel like they can go on. And so if we get our hearts and minds set on the things that the enemy begins to throw out there, things that may sometimes even be real, do you know that our faith, our confidence, our courage will just begin to sag? Our heart will begin to faint and melt within us if we look at just the things before us. We have vivid stories of that all through the Bible. We see the Israelites when it came time for them to inherit the land and all those things. And then here the spies came back and told them the land is just what they said it was. It does flow with milk and honey. It's an amazing place where God has prepared for us something wonderful. But there's no way we can inherit it because there's giants there. And there's big walled cities. We can never do those things. And the heart of the people began to melt. And they began to just, because their thoughts were somewhere they weren't supposed to be. God wants us to have courage in our life. He wants our life to be one that faces the foe with courage, that faces our battles with this thought, hitherto hath the Lord helped me, and He's going to help me again. And many times we have to face things that way And so when we begin to think on things, he said, think on things that are true. Now when the devil comes and says, there is no way. There is no way you can make it through this. This is the end of the road for you. You know, when he comes and begins to tell us that, is that true? It's true if God isn't in the picture, but it's not true at all if God is in the picture. And so when we begin to think on things as they are, we want to think on those things that are true, those things that are just, those things that are lovely and of good report. And if there be any praise, think on these things. And I believe that the devil will not be able to take away from us those blessings that are promised to us today. Just want to encourage all of our families, all of our mothers, all of our fathers. The Lord has help for us. And he doesn't want us to falter in the way by seeing things and getting our minds on those things and allowing the enemy to take away what God has given us. Many times we see the Lord working together in battles with each other. Folks, we see the Lord give us scripture. Let's hang on to that. Let's think about that. God gave me that scripture, and I know it. He lifted me up. He gave me promise, and I'm going to hang on to him. He's going to help me through. And so this morning, I just want to encourage us, don't let the devil take away from you that the Lord gives us. He wants us to be encouraged this morning. A lot of times the Lord uses our mind just like the devil does, only in a different way. The devil wants to work against our mind to get us to thinking on things that would be a discouragement or that would make our feelings go low. Do you know our feelings many times follow those things that we sit around and think on? If we center our hearts, if we center our thoughts on God, that's true. On God, that's just. On God, he's pure. Whatever we may see around us, sometimes people get their eyes on somebody that they feel like isn't a good example. And you hear this from anywhere. If somebody doesn't want to serve the Lord, you'll hear that. Yeah, but they're so... You know what, folks? Judas was there with Jesus too. We center our eyes upon that which is true, that which is pure. God is that way. And he wants our heart to pluck up courage, but our mind plays a part in it. And so he tells us, think on these things. Think on those things. You remember something. I'm God. I'm pure. You remember something. I'll take you through. And so I believe the Lord wants us to do that this morning. Those things come to encourage and help us. But I have seen, not with one or two, but I have seen that the enemy works very hard to take away what God gives. And so when the Lord gives, let's live with that. Let's put that in our mind. Let's put that in our heart. And will he do it again? I believe he'll do it again and again. And he'll take us to heaven if we'll let him. We can live for the Lord. Young people, we can make it. We can live for God in this dark world. There isn't anything that can come that can harm us. Is there? Can it harm us? Oh, it might harm our things. If we're real attached to our things, we might be in trouble. If our things are what we are about, we might get in trouble. We might not be able to make it because our things might get taken away. Our things might get destroyed by a tornado. We don't know about all the... But I will tell you what I know. The Lord has given us something that the enemy can't take away. And he can't harm his child. He can't take away the peace that God has given me. The enemy don't have that power because I believe that thing that is true and that is pure from God. So this morning, let's take courage and pluck up courage in our hearts and minds and let the Lord give that to us. In Proverbs 3 and 25, it says here, "Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh." Now, why should we not? Why can we not? Why does it say, don't be afraid of sudden fear? Sometimes bad things happen. But you know what the writer here says? "For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken." I know this is a simple little message this morning, but I just want to encourage us. I feel like the Lord gave me these few little scriptures. Trust the Lord will make it a blessing to our hearts. It says to not be afraid because the Lord will be our confidence. That's why. "And shall keep thy foot from being taken." Now, if we're all wound around our life and our things, we have something to be afraid of. But if our life is on the inside, if our life is pure gold, if it's riches the enemy can't take away, then we don't have to fear. We don't have to live under that sudden, afraid feeling of sudden fear. The scripture says, Jeremiah 17 and 7, I love this scripture. It says, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is." That's what the Lord wants us to have this morning. It says, blessed is that man that his hope is in the Lord this morning. Let's center our hope in the Lord. "For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." Now, you know, the year of drought was a dreaded thing back there, more so than it is today even, and it's pretty bad now at times. But it says that the man whose hope is in the Lord, he shall be like a tree planted by the waters. Now, Elijah's hope was in the Lord. He saw that it needed to rain, and he went to work, and he prayed, "Lord, send rain. It's time now to send rain. Would you send rain, Lord? Send me a little witness that it's on the way." I don't know what he said, but I'm guessing he said something like that. And he began to pray to God, and he prayed again and again and again, seven times, until the Lord worked. "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is." I believe this scripture. He'll be like a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. That is because, folks, when things get dry, and we know what it is for heat to come around here, don't we? We've seen it when it was over 100 degrees for a month and a half or 2 months or whatever. I've seen it over 45 days. Every day over 100, things get dry. The ground gets parched. But you know, it says that the man that his hope is in the Lord, when things get like that, it says he won't see when the heat cometh. That's because his hope isn't in the things that come from around him. It comes from the Lord. And so this morning, let's take courage today. Our hope is in the Lord. God will send us help. He's interested in us taking courage this morning. God wants us to look back and say, you know what? I know God's been dealing with me. I know he's been talking to me, and he's not going to quit now. He's going to help me through this battle too. And God wants to do that. I was thinking about Paul, and this is a little change of thought in a way, but in Acts 28 and 15, it says, "And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage." Let's don't despise the day of small things. You know, this wasn't a gully washer. But you know what it was? some brothers came, and Paul was on a journey, and he was probably fairly weary. But they came from around 50 miles, maybe a little over 50 miles from Rome here. If you read the verse before, it tells where they came from. And it says, when Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. Somebody mentioned the other day, and I've read this in a book somewhere, and experienced it myself, where someone wrote or said that they had seen a brother uptown somewhere sometime, and they were just really feeling blue. They were really feeling, and you know, it just lifted their spirits. It lifted them out of that place. You know, that's the day of small things, isn't it? Don't despise the day of small things. God sent it. Maybe God sent that brother by. It's what God wants to give us. He wants us to pluck up courage, and He wants us to keep our hearts and minds on those things. Don't let our hearts and minds get down on the beggarly elements of this life, the questions that we have. You know, we can get so full of questions until we don't walk with God, until our whole mind and soul is centered upon our questions. Why? How about what? And on and on and on. The Lord wants a live walk with our heart. He wants us to know Him. Blessed is the man whose hope the Lord is. In his heart, he trusts in the Lord. In his heart, he knows that it's going to be okay because the Lord is on board. Because God is there. You know, it's always amazing when you read the story about where the boat was taking on water and about to sink. And the Lord was asleep down in there. And they went and woke Him up. Lord, don't You care that we perish? And you know, He got after them a little bit and kind of upbraided them just a little bit. You know, don't you have any faith? Something to that effect. You know why? Because He was on board. Folks, the Lord don't want us to forget He's on board. On all of our questions, in all of our needs, in all of our lives, in all the things that come against us, in all the things we have to deal with, in all the future that we have out before us, and the uncertainty of it, and all of those things. You know what the Lord wants us to think on? Think on Him. Think on these things. Those things that are real. God's going to undergird me. You think I'm going to fall? Not on your life. Not as long as the Lord's underneath. Now, if I get away from God, I'm in trouble. But you know what? I can be going through all kinds of troubles and be as secure as ever with the Lord on board. Just want to encourage us this morning. Let our courage mount up. Think about it. Think about the things of God. Look at the 12 stones every once in a while. And remember, think back in our life where God touched us. Think back where we knew God was real right there. I remember when the Lord healed me of sleep apnea. I will never forget that. That was one of the most remarkable days of my life. I just came up here and sat right there in that spot. I remember where I sat. It wasn't a big service. It was a Wednesday night prayer meeting. But the Lord impressed me to come forward. And I had it so bad I could not sleep. I could not. It was terrible. I was worn out every morning, almost more than when I went to sleep sometimes. But you know what? That night, the Lord just touched me right there. And I went home. And you know what? I think back to that. And I've seen a lot of other things like that in the last years. But I've seen those things. Folks, let's think on things that are real. Things that God is. If He undergirds us, then let's pluck up our courage. And let's give our heart and life to Him without reserve. And let's give our time to Him. And let's give our energy to Him as if there's something to give it for. Why should we be enamored with fear when the Lord is before us and behind us and underneath us and all around us? I believe in this morning. I believe God wants it to be that way in our lives. And we have to fight for that. We all have to fight for that. Because sudden fear comes. Questions come. Perplexities come continuously. But Paul said, they come, he said, but we're not. We're, how does he say it? Cast down, but not forsaken. And he has a lot of things there that he mentions. Nay, in all these things, he says, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And so I want to encourage us today, one more place maybe, Colossians 3 and 15. Listen to what it says here. I believe the Lord wants to have contented sheep. He wants his sheep to revel in his love. And that's why we sing the song that says, I love to tell the story. It's done so much for me. Because it's true how much the Lord has done for us. Colossians 3 and 15 says, and let the peace of God. Now that word let means, it means to let it happen. Let it happen. Don't frustrate the grace of God by our own thoughts, by our own things, by bringing in all of our own troubles upon us that we don't need. God never planned for us to carry all those things. He planned to carry things for us if we will let Him. And so it says here, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. I love the Lord. I love the way He keeps us that way. We have a song that says, keep your eyes on Jesus. And I want to encourage us this morning to keep our eyes on the Lord and on the prize. Those things are actually more real than the things that are tangible all around us because they're eternal. They won't be taken away. The things around us, we are told, are going to melt with fervent heat. The elements of the earth are going to melt with fervent heat. But the things that God has given last eternally. Things of the soul. Matters of faith. Things that that people can build their lives on. Paul built his life upon that. The apostles built their lives upon those things. They went out. How did they go out? Did they go out by building an empire before them and doing all those things? They lived by faith. We have a whole 11th chapter of Hebrews that speaks of the many people that built their lives upon faith. Do you think when Moses left and fled and forsook the treasures of Egypt, did he take any of that with him? No, he didn't take much with him. Probably pretty much the clothes on his back. But I will tell you what he took, faith in God. He built a life upon that. And God used him mightily. And we look in the scriptures and see what the Lord did. Oh, do we not recognize today that those days are not over? The days of building lives upon faith in God are not over. Because our society rejects that idea. And because they want to put the Christian era behind us. And move into areas that we know are going to end in destruction. It's not new. We've seen it before. This is not new. The things that we see are not new. They've been tried before with much failure. But we thank God. Folks, the days of faith are not over. The Lord said, when I come again, shall I find faith on the earth? I hope there's a group that's vibrant and alive in their souls and living for God, giving our lives to the Lord, looking to the Lord for and whose hope the Lord is, and allowing Him to have His way and build His work in the earth. Y'all pray for me too.